Good morning. Today's daf in Nazir Nun Beis. Tumas Meis has been our topic of discussion. Will continue to be our topic of discussion here in the seventh perek. So just to break down so far of the seventh perek, the seventh perek began back on Mem Zayin, and we went into a world of Tumas Meis. The reason why is very simple. Nazir is not allowed to be Matam LeMeis, and as a result of that, so we need to know, what is the definition of Tumas Meis? So the opening Mishnah of the Perek back on Mem Zayin talked about that a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol are not allowed to be Metameh for any mace, in other words, not even a Karov, and yet they are Metameh for a mace mitzvah. Okay, so, and that was a very basic discussion and a very interesting discussion. And then from there, we turn to Mem Tes. And on Mem Tes Amud Beis, so we have the Mishnah. The Mishnah that we have been discussing will be continue discussing for the next little while. Daf Nandal is when we get to our next Mishnah. But anyway, in Mem Tes, so we have Al Eilu Tumas Anozer Megaleach. So what Tumas is Anozer going to be Megaleach over? And so we have the list, right? It's a comprehensive list. Tomorrow's Daf, we're going to be talking about exactly how comprehensive it is and whether or not there are any details missing from the Mishnah, but it's a pretty comprehensive list in terms of what human remains are going to be Metame. And the list started off with mace and kezais ben mace and kezais netzel and melot tarvet rekev. So in the last couple of days, we've been discussing those in detail. Yesterday's daf was a detailed discussion regarding melot tarvet rekev, a spoonful of dust. Dust that was the full decomposition of the body until the point it was reduced to dust. And yesterday's daf, we discussed that in detail. We are going to be taking a short couple of minutes in the beginning of today's daf, talking about the concept of birya. And then afterwards, we're going to then move on to the next parts of the Mishnah, which is going to be the al hashejra, the al hagulgolas. And today's daf, we're going to be talking mostly about just that one topic, shejra v'gulgolas, to be discussed just in a moment. We are on Nun Aleph Amud Beis. We are starting at the bottom of the Amud Bai Rava. Bai Rava namala shechasra mahu shiura. I'm sorry, mahu. Let's pause over there. So I have a namala. Let's call the namala an ant. Okay? It's a modern Hebrew definition. Don't know if that's exactly what the Gemara here is describing. It doesn't matter. In other words, we're talking about a small creature. So namala shechasra mahu. And let's say it was missing a leg. In other words, right, I'm sure when you were a kid, or maybe I'm just describing my childhood, so you'd pull the leg off of these little bugs and, you know, see how far you can go. Okay, so and halachically, what are we asking? So Tosfos over here points out is as follows. We know the Gemara in Makos says that when it comes to Isurim, so how much of an Isur do you need to eat in order to be Chayiv? So typically the answer is a Kazayas. So, however, the Gemara in Makos says, Daf Yud Gimel, Tosfos here quotes it. And that is if you are Ochel Namala, if you eat an ant, and again, ant is just an example, it means any insect which is not kosher, which is almost every single insect, in the insect world, so there's only one thing that's kosher, and that would be the grasshopper. And even as a grasshopper, not every grasshopper, there are only four species of grasshoppers that are kosher. And we know exactly what those four are. Most don't. Some do. And even those who do know, I don't know how many people are interested in eating it. But anyway, I digress. So so when you have an ant or any insect and you eat it, so it's less than a kezias. In other words, the volume is less than a kezias, and yet you're going to be chayiv. Why? Because there's a concept, a principle called birya. And birya means that as long as I'm eating a single entity, so therefore, the Torah prohibits it, right? This affects us on a halachic basis, on a daily basis. And that is that when you are buying and cleaning fruits and vegetables, what you're doing is you're trying to get rid of the namala. You're trying to get rid of all the insects, because even if you eat less than a kezias, it's still going to be chayiv. And it's an issur d'oraisa, meaning even though it's less than a kezias, we are still looking at the possibility of an issur d'oraisa. Just recently in my travels to New York, so I stayed by a family, a very religious family, and they don't drink the water there. And I know there are people out there. Good. Not only do I know there are people out there, I stayed by people who wouldn't drink the water. Now, the water itself is fine. Water's not the problem. The problem is the bugs in the water. Okay? So I know it's a controversial point. I know some do, some don't. Okay, I'm not, you know, not going to dip my toe. Sorry. No, I'll just stop. In other words, I won't even conclude the pun. Anyway, fine. So over here. So now that we know the concept of birya, in other words, that's the given. We knew that already, and the Gemara knew that already. What the Gemara now wants to know is as follows. So let's say now we have an amala, and if I were to eat it, and when we're talking about the isra achila, doesn't matter if it's alive, doesn't matter if it's dead. But now if I were to eat it, I'd be chayiv. That's a given. We knew that. Now, what's under discussion? Let's say the following. Let's say I have an amala, and what I do is I pull off a leg. And again, whether it's alive or dead is inconsequential for this discussion. And I pull off a leg. Does it still have the birya designation? Does the birya designation only work if it's there in its completion? I have the ant in its full, with every one of its extremities still there, or no? In other words, would the birya designation still apply even if there is a limb that's missing? Now, obviously, we're talking about a non-essential limb. Now, again, I'm talking about limbs of bugs. So, right, it's not little small thing, but it doesn't matter. The point is that a critical component for the definition of birya that has to be totally intact, or maybe not? As long as the thing could still live, so then it would still have the birya designation. Yeah, you're right. Perfect, perfect. Huh? Phil's asking, in other words, this doesn't seem to be related to any of our discussion. Okay, it is going to be a short discussion, but still, the question's very good. Okay.
No answer.
Okay. Another.
Is the second before?
Yeah, I was thinking like David. In other words, the previous sugya was talking about measuring things that came apart. And okay, but okay, when all said and done, this is a machos sugya that just found its way over here. Anyway, so let's go. So by Rava, we are on Nun Alpha Mid Beis. We're two lines from the bottom. So Nemal Shechaser Mahu. Shiur gamirin v'hachaser obiria gamir v'haika. So in other words, is this all about shiur? And shiur tells me that I have to have every part of the namala. Alternatively, no. Maybe it's all about birya, meaning had the thing been alive, it would have continued to live. And even if it's missing the leg, it still is a birya, because it could still maintain its life even legless. So I'm Rav Yehuda Midiskarta. So as we are now on the top of Nbeis Amad Aleph, so the Gemara says, okay, so let's litigate. Let's see. Tashma. So Behem Yachol Bekulam Tamalom Rebehemi Mehem Yachol Miksasam Tamalom Rebehem. I read that quickly. I know. So Haketzad Ad Sheyiga BeMiksasam Sheukakulan V'Shira Chochamim BeChadasha Shekena Chomet Chilabriaso BeChadasha. Okay, so I'm going to explain that Bryce. I read it quickly, but now I'm going to explain it a little bit slower, and that is as follows. What the Bryce over here is looking at is two psukim. Tosfos over here actually cites both of the psukim, but this brisa is focusing on not the isra achila, but the tumah. Okay, and that means to say is as follows: is that there are shmonas shratzim, there are eight little creatures of the Torah. Okay, the Torah actually identifies those little creatures, but over the years, what we've done with many animals that the Torah describes is that we lost our ability to define exactly what those animals are. Okay, little bugs, rats, rodents, whatever. Whatever they are, if you were to touch any one of the eight shratzim enumerated in the Torah, so you're tummy. Now, not touch them while they're alive. In other words, the tumah, they become an avatumah only after they're dead. Okay. Now, if I were to touch the remains of any one of the eight shratzim, so that is what's called maga, and you're now nogea b'sheretz, and you're now, that's an avatumah, you're risha. That's easy. What the Bryce over here is discussing is that let's say you don't have an entire sheretz, but you only have part of a sheretz. Is that going to be metame? And the answer is, as long as it's a significant amount. What is a significant amount? Ke'adasha. As long as it's the volume of a lentil and you touch it, you're going to be tame. Now, why? So the Bryce says that it's a function of the fact that the chomet, again, whatever the chomet is, it's one of the eight shratzim, the chomet, when born, is the size of an adasha. And that's why the adasha shear is a significant shear. And so what the Gemara is arguing now is as follows. Since the Chachamim looked at the chomet at its birth, and since that is the definition of the shear, so what do you see over here? And where we're talking about the shear, it has to have an amount. In other words, it's not the life force which is significant. In other words, it has to have a quantitative amount. That's the Gemara's Raya. So Shmamina Shiura Gemirila. No, so it's all about Shir. So I'm a Rav Shmaya Kibin and Shiura de Bedalo Havia Kaadasha. Lamatame. Delo Nafla Banashama. Val Nafla Banashama Lom. So Enti Bailach. And so what the Gemara says is that no, I don't like the Raya at all. In other words, over there we're talking about touching part of an animal in order for you to become tummy. In other words, so you don't have the entire sheretz over there, you only have a piece of the sheretz over there, and how much of it do you have to be mitame? And yes, over there, that's a sheer discussion. I'm with you. But over here, we're having a birya discussion, meaning that we have the entire bug. We have the whole bug. It just happens to be that it's legless, right? It lost a leg, you pulled off a leg, it don't matter. In other words, it's legless. Had it been alive, could it have lived? Yes. So in other words, this is a birya discussion. And since it's a birya discussion, so it could very well be that even if it's less than the total bug, but as long as it could have lived, so therefore it'd be usher. So tibayilach in nazir means teku, right? Nazir is a slightly variant girsa than the rest of shas. Normally we're used to hearing the word teku. Here in nazir we hear the word tibayilach. Good. Okay, adkan, that takes us to the end. Obviously it's a really important sugya, and we went through it all too quickly, and the Gemara comes up with not a conclusion, but in other words, but if I have a bug, and it's not, the bug is not totally intact, but had it been alive, it could have lived, so is that going to have the status of birya? And the Gemara are inconclusive on this very basic question. Okay. And again, just practical living in terms of bugs and vegetables and checking, and it's like, it's daily that this issue comes up, but meanwhile, for our purposes right now, we're going to move on. All right, our goal is to finish a daf. I say that, by the way, knowing I'm stopping right in the middle of Nun Beis Amud Beis, but it's okay. It's going to be intentional in terms of where I stop today. Hashetchev al-Gugolas, and now we're talking about the skull and we're talking about the vertebrae. So again, we're back in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah tells us that here's a list. Here's the list that the Nazir comes into contact with these, so he's going to become Tummy. Now, when I say contact, by the way, remember, the contact that we're discussing over here is Ohel, meaning being under the same roof. So if the human remains is made up of just the skull and the vertebrae, so the Mishnah tells us now the Nazir is Tamei Meis, and not only Tamei Meis, but with a reboot. In other words, he has to now become Tahor and start again in terms of his count of his Naziris. We're going to be asking a simple question over the course of the remainder of today's daf. It's one topic for the remainder of today, and as we're going to see, it's going to be a hard-fought topic. And that is going to be, the Mishnah says, skull and vertebrae. Is it skull or vertebrae? Is it skull and vertebrae? Okay. A little bit of bone talk, shall we? In other words, how many bones does the human body have? I'm not going to answer that question. It's controversial. It's not controversial. It just happens to be that the Gemara's count is 248 and our count is, what is it, 206? I don't know. Okay, fine. Perfect. Okay. In other words, numbers aren't no point in giving a number right now. But the point is that we have bones, and we know that the bones of a human are mitame. But we also know the following: if all I do is come into contact with a bone, with a singular bone, so there's no tumas ohel. So in other words, if there's a bone in this room and I'm sharing this, and I'm in the same room, I don't become tame. Right? The bones don't give off tumas ohel. What gives off tumas ohel? We'll go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives us an extensive list. But in other words, you need to have not just a bone, you need to have more than a bone. Good. So it needs to be more than a bone. So what does that mean, more than a bone? Okay, so that's going to be our discussion for today, tomorrow. In other words, we'll talk about what is more than a bone. But if you have significant bones, like the skull and like the vertebrae, if you have significant bones, then that's going to give off tumas ohel. That's point number one. That's significant point number one. So, when our Mishnah says that the Nazir walks into a room and is sharing a roof now with a skull and vertebrae, so now, skull and vertebrae significant. Got it. Is it skull or vertebrae? Is it skull and vertebrae? From the Mishnah, it's not clear. Now, I say it's not clear, by the way. I don't know. You go back to the Mishnah, you read the Mishnah, it seems pretty clear. Well, I'm reading the words of the Mishnah. Al HaShedra V'Al HaGugolas. So that vav over there, it's a conjunction, obviously, But there literally is. In other words, obviously, the Gemara is asking the question. So the Gemara is opening up for two ways of reading the Mishnah. Even the Vav usually is chibur, and it usually means the word and. But again, the Mishnah is a listing of these are the things that make you tami tama sohal. So there really are two totally acceptable ways of reading the Mishnah. The Mishnah could be read, I would call it the simplest way of the skull and the vertebrae, but you don't have to read the Mishnah that way. The Mishnah could be read, the skull, and even though the next letter is Vav, but again, in a listing format, the Vav just simply means or this, or this, or this, or this. And so it could be either, it could be the alternate way to read the Mishnah is the skull or the vertebrae.
Does it have to be from
a Jew? That's a machlokus amongst the Tanaim. Okay, Shezhev al Gogolas. Ibai Lahu Shezhev al Gogolas. Tanan Adilma O Shezhev al Gogolas. Okay. O Shezhev al Gogolas. So those are the two possible ways of reading the Mishnah, obviously, practically speaking. Now it's very significant. You walk into a room and there's only a skull or there's only vertebrae. So is there Tumas Ohel? Okay, so obviously it's critical in terms of the proper reading of the Mishnah. Amareva Tashma Shedra Shigire Rov Ila in Shaba Tahora. Uve Kever, Afila Mushuber, so Mufarekis Tamea, Mimnea Kever. Okay, so let's get Pshat over here in this Mishnah. Prior to today's daf, so I consulted with my medical authority in terms of the nature of vertebrae and ribs, meaning I spoke to David before the daf. So over here, what the Bryce is describing is the following. So you have a shedra, you have a vertebrae, and shigireid rov ila'in. Ila'in is an Aramaic word, says tosfos, and that's a description of the ribs. And what happens is that the ribs are scraped off. So in other words, it's the vertebrae, but without the ribs. Or without the majority of its ribs. So what the Bryce is telling us is that if I have the vertebrae, but I don't have the majority of the ribs connected, they're detached, so then it's tahor. In other words, under those circumstances, now that does not it does not qualify as vertebrae. That's not shedra. Shedra, and again, just everyone's clear. In other words, we're not talking about touching it. If you touch it, so then it's just any bone of human remains, as long as it's etzem, kisaora, so then your tummy. We're not talking about touching. We're talking about being under the same roof. So in order to be under the roof, in order for that tuma to transmit and communicate, so it needs to be shedra. But now we're learning together that the definition of shedra is with the ribs. So omifrekis tameya. So I'm sorry. Let me do that again. Shedra shakira rov ila in shabat tahara. However, uve kever afil mishubaris omifrekis tameya. Ah, but let's say it's in a kever. So in other words, the vertebrae and the ribs are detached from one another. And now, David, I'm reading it carefully. It's Mishuberis Omifurekis. Right. Right. The breaking and that could be the detachment from the ligament standpoint. Okay. Either way. But if it's in the kever, so then it is Tameya. And the reason why Tosus explains is that it's Halach L'Moshe Misinai, is that what the kever does is that the kever combines it. It's Mitzari. If it puts it all together, vis-a-vis Tuma. Okay. Fine. It's a special halacha. Mimnei kever. Fine. Anyway, what comes out from all this? So you just saw, we learned together a braisa that was litigating what is a shedra and what isn't a shedra. It's got to have the ribs. The ribs have to be attached. If it's detached, it's not ribs. Let's do that again. It has to be a vertebrae. The vertebrae and the ribs have to be attached. If they're not attached, so it's not vertebrae. It's not a shedra. And if the vertebrae and the ribs are detached, but they're in a kever, so then they are, it is going to give off tuma. What comes out clearly over here, as the Gemara is about to point out, is that all you need is a shedra. You don't need shedra and Gilgolas. All you need is just a shedra, right? That's the Gemara's point. Taima mishum de girid halo girid tameya shma mina, o shedra, o Gilgolas ketani. Certainly sounds like that the shedra by itself is going to be metame ba'ohel. So the Gemara says, "Halo ketani, hakamash malan dechigiret Torah idachti baylach." So the Gemara says, "No, you don't have to make that jump. You don't have to arrive at that conclusion. Perhaps the only thing the Bryce is telling us is that starting point. The given is I need the shedra and the golgolas. Good. Now zoom into shedra. What qualifies a shedra? It has to have the ribs. if it doesn't have the ribs, if the ribs are detached, if the ribs are broken, so then it's not a shedra. But in other words, already working with the assumption that I need the shedra and I need the gogolas. That's how you could read the braisa. So Tashma. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shisha Dvarim Rabbi Kiva Matame V'Chachamim Matarim V'Chazer Bar Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so here we have a braisa. Now I say it's a braisa. It's a tosefta. Okay. Six times in halacha where Rabbi Kiva's position is that it's mitame, and the Chachamim disagree and they say that's tahor, and eventually Rabbi Kiva retracted on all six of these points. Umaisa Shivi Kupa Malaya Tamas Abesa Knesses Shel Tarsiim. So there was an incident once where a bag of bones, box of bones, were brought into shul, into the Beis HaKnesses Shel Tarsiim. Tosfos describes them as coppersmiths. Anyway, v'yinichu ba'aver v'nichnas tudus harofe v'chol harofe mimo. And it was put ba'aver. Aver just simply means that it was an unroofed building. And tudus harofe comes in, and other doctors together with him, v'amru ein kan shedra mimeis echad. And what he was doing is he was giving his professional medical opinion. And that is that you do not have the vertebrae from one person over here. The entire vertebrae from one person. Okay. Now, time to like a shedra de michada. Ha'ika. O shedra, o gogolos de michada, nazir megale chalash, mamina, o shedra, o gogolos tenan. So now, the Gemara makes the simple observation. When Tudus and the other doctors came in and he offered his medical opinion, you know that you do have vertebrae over here, but it's not from one individual. Okay, that was his opinion. Good. So, but what are we gleaning from that? That had there been Shedra from one person, so now we're looking at Tumas Ohel. We're looking at Tumas Ohel. So, and therefore, the proper way then to read our Mishnah is O Shedra, O Gogolas, right? And the Gemara says, no, you're not right. Lomi bai kamer, lomi bai shedra v'gogolos to mimei sechad leka, ela afila o shedra mimei sechad, o gogolos mimei sechad leka. No, it could be that what's Tudus doing? He's just giving us information. Meaning, we have a collection of bones, it was brought into the shul for whatever reason, we don't have the background why it was brought in, but it was brought into shul and they wanted to know, is there Tumas Ohel going on over here? They called in the doctor. So the doctor came and he gave an opinion. And just because we know what he said doesn't mean that we therefore get to conclude what the halach is. Okay, so he's telling us that, look, here's the story. That vertebrae over there, it's not coming from one person. Okay? That's a fact. Meaning, good, that's a fact. But that doesn't mean that had there been vertebrae for one person, now we are talking about Tumas Ohel, he was just giving us the facts of the case, the facts of what is happening over there. But in order for there to be Tumas Ohel, not only do I need the Shedra of one individual, coupled with that, I also need the Gogolos as well. Okay, that's how you could read the Braisa. And as a result of that, once again, no proof. Okay. Again, it's one question that we're asking today, and we're going to keep attempting to proof after proof in terms of what's the proper way to read our Mishnah. Tumas Ohel of the skull and vertebrae. Is that skull or vertebrae? Is that skull and vertebrae? That's the question. And once again, Tashma. So this is going to be our third round on this topic. So Tashma Miminyana. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's do a little bit of accounting for today. In the Braisa that we just learned together, so what did it say? There were six issues in which Rabbi Kiva was Metame Tumas Ohel, and the Chachamim say there was Tahor, and eventually Rabbi Kiva retracted. Okay, six. So the critical number is six. Let's see the numbers. Umayin shisha dvarim she Rabbi Kiva matame v'chachamim matarin. So what are they? Number one, Aver min ames. So if you have the limb of a deceased, and sheba mishnei mesim, but the limb is made up of two mesim. So in other words, it's not a full limb, but in other words, it is part of a limb, two halves of a limb. In other words, in order to be matame ba'ohel, so even if it is an entire limb, it's metame ba'ohel. Okay, sorry. Let me just give a little bit of background. Okay, in order for there to be Tumas Ohel, again, bone's not enough. That we know. It has to be more than that. If you have kezayis min ames, that's metame ba'ohel. That we know also. Now, what if it's a limb where the amount of flesh on it is less than a kezayis, but you have a full limb? Oh. So if you have a full limb, that's the halacha of Aver. So if you have a full limb, so it's metame ba'ohel. Okay, now, what if we don't have a full limb, but we have a composite of a full limb made up by two remains? Okay, so in other words, I really don't know, to be honest, what is considered, what qualifies as a full Aver. Okay, is it based on joints? I don't know, but whatever. Whatever that unit is of an Aver, let's say the Aver is made up of a composite of the remains of two different people. So that is point number one. Aver min ha-meshabah mishnei mesim. So again, what Rabbi Kiva's original position is tame. The Chachamim's position will always be tahor. And Rabbi Kiva ends up retracting. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, al aver min ha-chai. What if it was a detached limb from a live person? Ultimately, the person died. So that limb also is now going to be a source of tumah. And again, same story. In other words, it's a limb, but not the full limb of one person. It is a composite full limb, but only from two people.
Is only tumah after the person dies?
Yes. In other words, while the person is alive, so I don't think it gives off. I don't think it gives off an avatama. I do not think so. Okay, I hope I'm right. Okay, chatzi kavatzamos shabam mishnei mesim. Also, chatzi kavatzamos. Okay, so you have a lot of bones. Meaning, again, bone by itself is not enough for tumas awal. So there has to be more. You have to add. So over here, chatzi kavatzamos. So here we have a volume, right? The volume measurement is chatzi kav. Okay, it's a volume measurement. So shabam mishnei mesim. Now, if the chatzi kav was coming from one person, so that's going to be metame tumas awal. But over here, once again, it's a composite. It is, you have the volume, but only from two different people. Revi'ez dam abam mishnayim. Also, revi'ez dam. Revi'ez dam is also metame ba'ohel. In other words, again, when discussing remains, so we break it up into categories. There's bone, there's flesh, and now blood. So when it comes to blood, how much blood of human remains is metame ba'ohel? Revi'ez. A revi'ez of a log. However, according to Rabbi Akiva, if it is a composite, meaning again, you have the revius, you have the volume, but coming from two different people. So again, Rabbi Akiva's position is Tameh, the Chachamim disagreed. Al etzem kisseora shenechlak lishnayim. Okay, you'll forgive me, I lost count by the way, but I know where the count is landing, so we're going to be good. Al etzem kisseora shenechlak lishnayim. So you have a bone, and it's kisseora, it's the volume of a barley. And it's divided into two. Now, over here, by the way, let's raise an eyebrow. Why? Because this particular issue is not talking about Tumas Ohel. In other words, this is talking about Tumas Maga. Okay, hold that thought because the Gemara is going to pick up on that. V'hashesh v'al gugolas. And now number six. What's number six? Shesh v'al gugolas. Oh. Period. Okay, so now, the proof seems to be very good. Meaning, here are 6 points of a halacha. Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim are at odds with one another. Rabbi Akiva says it's metame ba'ol, Chachamim say it's not metame ba'ol, and here comes a significant point. There are only six. So you go through each one of them, you count. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and what's number six? Shejav Gogolos. Okay, beautiful. It seems to be a fantastic proof that in order for Shejav Gogolos to be tame ba'ol, I need both. Good. Seems to be a great proof. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. We turn the page. Nun beis amin beis. Isa gadacho. Shajro gogolos. Hani. Shivya havyan. So if in fact Shajra o gogolos, if that were the case, the number would not be six. It would be seven. And so what we seem to have is a really good raya. And what's going to happen next? That was the raya. Now we have the dechia. The Gemara is going to push it off and the Gemara is going to say, no, it's not a raya. And what we're going to do is accounting. Okay. So, remember, I said this before. It's an old joke of mine. And that is that, we are hardwired as Jews too. Number one, be an accountant. Every one of us. Okay. Even for those of us who don't end up becoming accountants. But in other words, it's in our blood. And number two is that every one of us are hardwired to open up a restaurant. Okay. Most people don't. But in other words, for some reason, like, I don't know. We're just born with, you know, I can open a restaurant. Okay. So over here, so this is an accounting issue. And so over here, what we're going to do is that we're going to preserve the number six. And meanwhile, it could be Oshedra or Ogagolas. How are we going to do that? I'll tell you how we'll do that. So in other words, when you're an accountant, so you massage the numbers. So that's what we're going to do over here. We're going to massage the numbers, work the numbers. So Kiketani, so the Gemara over here gives us a simon. In other words, the Gemara is going to give us four different ways of how to massage the numbers. So So the Gemara says, yeah, I know the Brisa said there are six. But you know what? One of them we're not going to include in the six. Meaning, Shedra and Gogolos are going to be two separate issues. That's our counter argument. And meanwhile, one of the previous ones we're simply not going to count. Why? Because that's not Rabbi Kiva arguing with the Chachamim. It's Rabbi Kiva arguing with an individual. And that's not one of the six, because the number six are the six times that Rabbi Kiva is arguing with the Rabbim. Now, which one of the six is he arguing with the Yachin? Well, we're going to learn right now. Rabbi Kiva Matame, Rabbi Yochim Anuri Matayer. So on the issue where I have an Etzem Kisaora, it's a bone chip split into two. So in other words, the chip by itself was Seora, the volume of a barley. But then when you chip it into two, so it's two halves. And you touch. But it's not together. So is it Mitame? And again, remember, it's Mitame Bemaga, not Be'oho. But still, is it Mitame? Machlokis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochim Menuri. Since it's an argument between Rabbi Kiva and another Yachid, so that's not one of the six. Now, granted, by the way, the Brisa would then be terribly misleading, but still, the point is, Shedra and Gogolos can be counted as two. Ibai Zemiki Kitani Avram and Amaze, here now comes our second Dechia. It says Avram and Amaze, Avram and Achailo Kitani. But in other words, when counting the six, you're counting the six of the Avram and Achai is not counted towards the six. In other words, that's just simply, they're in the listing, but not counted. Why? Because the six are only going on the remains of the deceased, not the remains of the living. Another dechia, another way to massage the numbers, and that is, etzem kesara is not one of the six. Why? For the reason which we already articulated. Etzem kesara is not mitame ba'ohel. It's only mitame ba'maga. So when giving us the number six, here are the six times that Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim are arguing about Tumas Ohel, not Tumas Maga. Okay. Ibai Sam of the Gemara gives us another Dechia. Number four, if I'm right. So Kiketani Kol Echad HaDerbe, Lafuga Revi Azam Delo HaDerbe, Damar Le Rabbi Labar Kapar, Lo Tishna Revi Azam B'Chazara, Sharei Tamudash Rabbi Kiva, Sharei Tamudash Rabbi Kiva B'Yado, Va'oda Mikra Misayo. And another way to massage the numbers is the following, and that is Revi'ez Dam, which is a composite of the remains of two different people. On that point, Rabbi Akiva never retracted. Meaning the number six is only going on each of the points of Rabbi Akiva retracted from. But what he didn't retract from is the blood. When I have blood, it's Revi'ez Dam made up of two people. Rabbi Akiva maintained that position for his entire life. And on top of that, the part of the reason why he maintained that position is because he has a drasha, meaning it's not just halach l'moshe m'sinai, right? A lot of our discussion today is halach l'moshe m'sinai, but this particular point is not halach l'moshe m'sinai. The pasuk says, "Akol nafshos meis lo yavo," right? We just read them parshas para. Akol nafshos meis lo yavo, I just want to correct myself. We didn't read that in Parshas Parah. That's by the, that's by the Kohanim. Anyway, Akol Nafshos Meis Lo Yavo, and you'll notice that the word Nafshos is in the plural. And so, this led Rabbi Kiva to the conclusion that if I have Revi'ez Dam coming from two different people, so it would still be Matame Boa. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer Ad Yamav Hayamatame, Imishamesh Chazabo, Eni Yodeo. And Rabbi Shimon makes the following comment. Now, let's remind each other, Rabbi Shimon was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon over here is most probably, is definitely Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Shimon over here has a comment. And he has a quip, so to say. And he says, well, look, I know my Rabbi Akiva maintained that position for the duration of his life. that if I have blood, which is made up of two remains, the remains of two different bodies, so it's metame ba'al. I know he held that position and maintained holding that position for the balance of his life. However, says Rabbi Shimon, you know, maybe he'd retract. I'm not sure if he, in other words, if you asked him now, would he retract? I mean, who's to say? Okay. Anyway, Rabbi Shimon made a comment, and it was a little too casual about his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, and Tana. And on this, the Gemara now makes the following comment. Because he made a casual comment about his Rebbe, regarding maybe his Rebbe would change his position, I don't know, maybe yes, maybe no. The comment was not reverential enough. Rabbi Shimon obviously held himself to a very high standard in terms of what would be considered insulting. And because there was just a tinge of insult in that comment, so Rabbi Shimon went upon fasting for tshuva. And Hushkru Shinov, that's a description that we see all the time throughout Shas, in describing someone who is fasting, that his teeth blacken. Okay. Thankfully, we don't know people who are really suffering from starvation. So, but anyway, but back in the day, that's apparently that was a symptom of somebody who was really starving. So anyway, so he would go and fast upon fast because he felt that he really needed a tshuva in the manner in which he spoke about his Rebbe, Rebbe Kiva. Anyway, comes out from this is the following. Obviously, it's a terribly sad ending, but comes out from the following. And that is that despite the fact that the Braisa said, here are six times where Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim disagree, and number six is Shedra Vogugolas, and we think, okay, good, now we know, in order to be Metame Boel, any Shedra and Gugolas, but what we have done is that we spent the rest of today's daf deflecting. And we said, not necessarily. It's Shedra all Gugolas, and we saw the number six. Yeah, I know you saw the number six, but we can get to the number six in many different ways. In fact, the Gemara on the Amud Beis goes through six different ways in which we're going to get to the number six, but Shedra and Gugolas could be counted as two. In other words, we'll just work the numbers. That's all. Okay, Adkan, we're going to stop over here tomorrow. Tashma, we'll pick it up with Rovat Samos. Okay, and we'll make our way through from that point going forward. And good, and more to Masawal to come. Okay, the seventh parak of Nazir. That's going to be our topic of discussion. Okay, today's daf is a very easy daf to summarize. It's really 2 points in today's daf. Point number one, and that is that I have a namala, but it lost a leg. It could still live if it were alive. It could still live, but it lost a leg, and I eat it. So am I now subject to malchus min haTorah? And you ate a birya, yeah, but it wasn't a birya in its completion. It was a birya missing a leg. So in other words, is the birya a measurement, or is the birya just simply a function of it could have lived? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara doesn't resolve that question. Okay, and obviously a very important question la halacha, but the Gemara here did not arrive at resolution.
It has to be birya because the question itself, you know, what do we say that the mola is because it's a birya? The asthma, it says so. The measurement had nothing to do with it.
Sounds that way. It sounds that way. But again, the Gemara discusses. But I hear your point. Okay, number two. Number two is going to be the discussion in the Gemara regarding Shedra V'Gogolas. The Mishnah says that Shedra V'Gogolas is Metame Ba'ohel. Nazir walks in. That's it. Nazir's got to start all over again. He now has Tumas Mace. So our big discussion for today is one discussion, and that is Shedra V'Gogolas, Shedra O'Gogolas. What's the proper reading of the Mishnah? In other words, these bones obviously are more significant, but do they give off Tumas Ohel when I have both, the skull and the vertebrae? Or does it only give off Tumas Ohel when it's the skull or the vertebrae? One of the two. Okay, and our Gemara litigated that for the balance of today's daf. And again, the Gemara did not arrive at a resolution whether it's both or it's either or.